Welcome to Ram Radio with Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word Ministries, the Biblical Alternative. Ram Radio stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. Ram Radio is a program for the Christian who is constantly learning and growing in the Word of God. The discussions during Ram Radio will challenge each listener to know what they believe and why they believe it. Sometimes the discussions will challenge your salvation. Stay with us and investigate the scriptures to know what is expected of the man or woman who claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Get your Bible ready. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you so much, Mark Ramsey. Thanks for joining me for another webcast. Here in January the 18th, 2013, Pastor John here on a Friday in the Lucy Coleman studio. Just reading from a poet. You say that you love me forever, but what about today? As the dusk becomes dawns and the years pass on, will you love me the same way? If so, let us rejoice and bathe in constant pleasure. If not, spare my heart today, and I shall recover there before forever. And if my doubts and questions upset you, forgive my fragile heart. I just wanted to know if you love me forever before today would start. Thank you for joining me. Oh, I'm sorry. From a book, The Rose That Grew from the Concrete, Tupac Shakur. One of the finest poets that I've ever read from. Nice hardbound book. I think everyone should get it. How far do we go? I was talking with a friend of mine, and we had a very serious discussion. Then another friend called, and we had a more serious discussion. And the discussion was kind of like aimed at the disposition, not what must we do, because we know what we have to do, not how do we do it, because we know the methodology of how to do it. But there was a greater question. The far greater question is, will we operate with the tenacity that God has given us to get it done? I was just sitting here in the studio and I was thinking about love. You know, we love to talk about that, don't we? We love to write about love and to talk about love. And I think that what Tupac does in his poem is he really places it on the front line. Ah, you know what? Loving. The book that we read called the Bible is full of these terms. I like Leviticus 19:34 in the Old Testament. This book of law for Judaism, it says, "The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native amongst you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord, your God." Oh, look what God does. He breaks into that. And he says the divisions that we so welcome in our lives, those divisions are to be broken down, and you are to accept the person for who they are and where they are. I love that. That's why I can read Tupac Shakur. I can listen to his earlier music and appreciate some of it, just like I can listen to Brahms, Beethoven, Mozart, Bach. Yes, the classical writers of the early centuries. Well, I can listen to some of the greatest poets in this 20th and 21st century. Of course, Mr. Shakur is not with us any longer. He is not amongst the land of the living. But he's left his imprint on humanity. I like to spend a little time just, quoting Tupac here, since we are to accept this stranger that is amongst us just as we are. I found this poem to be very interesting, and Tupac calls this one, "Nothing Can Come Between Us." And then he has four John. And I don't know who the John is, but I like the poem already. "Let's not talk of money. Let us forget the world. For a moment, let's just revel in our eternal camaraderie. In my heart, I know there will never be a day that I don't remember and times we share. You were a friend when I was at my lowest, and being a friend to me was not easy or fashionable. Regardless of how popular I became, you remain my unconditional friend, unconditional in its truest sense. Did you think that I would forget? Did you for one moment dream that I would ignore you? If so, remember this from here to forever. Nothing can come between us. Oh, what wonderful words. What wonderful words. I guess that the verse that clearly defines this for me would be Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. We're going to talk about friendship since Tupac was writing about it. And you may say, why do you keep mentioning this vile sinner, this corrupting, this filthy mouth hip-hopper, this gangster thug with guns on his chest and ink tattoos all over his body? He was murdered horribly in the city of Las Vegas, Nevada, while riding in a car with his music record promoter, and there's some questions upon whether he had anything. Why are you talking about this man, John? Tell us about Jesus. Tell us about God in heaven, the angels. Talk about Lucifer, Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies, but don't talk about Tupac, this chocolate brother, this black man that people idolize. No, I don't want to talk about Frank Sinatra. Don't want to talk about Bing Crosby. I don't want to talk about Mao Zedong. I don't want to talk about Nikita Khrushchev. I don't want to talk about Kobe Bryant. I want to talk about Tupac Shakur and friendship. Now, I want to read the Bible to you because I have to throw some Bible in here for those of you that have tweaked off of this subject matter. I told you in this year, the webcast, I'm going to get you to think beyond that. What if Tupac were your cousin? What if Tupac were your brother? And I mean, you're working, you got money, you don't need his money. Man, if I was an older brother or an older cousin or nephew or something to that young man, I wish I had known him. I really do. Because if I had known him, I would say, hey, Pac, come here, man. I said, come here. I said, boy, you take care of yourself and you be careful what you say to people out there, because you know people are totally depraved, Pac. Totally depraved. Pac would probably say, what's that? But he was smart. He probably knew what depravity was because his music spoke about it. I heard a very interesting statement. Someone brought it to my attention that this Kim Kardashian lady is pregnant with Kanye West's child. And someone said that Kanye said that when his child is born, that he was telling Kardashian lady to keep the child away from the music and the hip-hop culture as much as you can. Do you know why Kanye West said that? Because he knows that that is debauchery. He knows that the lifestyle, the money that comes from it, the popularity, everything, when you look at it, is something that God would not be pleased with. And so what does he do? He says, I don't want to be a part of that, nor do I want in any way my daughter to be, or my son, whatever the child is, to be a part of that lifestyle. He wants them to live free of all of that foolishness. Now, I kind of appreciate Kanye's request, but what is he going to fill the void with? So what are you going to fill the void with? Giving them material? Because the material doesn't make a human being happy. Trust me. There was a story on Wilshire and Western Avenue. They have a building called the Wiltern. Maybe if you type it up on your computer. Let me see if I can do it right now. Okay, let's see if I got a picture of it. Let me see. The T-E-R-N. I'm going to have to go in there. A-T. I'm going to have to go in there and tell them to hold it down because I'm doing a webcast. They just get carried away. Yeah, they got it right here. They got a picture of it right here. The Wiltern Theater, I believe that's what that is. And when you, let me see, the Wiltern Theater, yeah, there it is. Yeah, it's a Los Angeles theater, and they let you know all the, well, and that theater, that building, the Wiltern, which is on Western Avenue and Wilshire Boulevard, during the Depression, it was stated that a gentleman that either owned the building or was heavily involved in that building during the Depression had lost everything, I think, but about $1 million. All of his wealth was gone. He had $1 million left during the Depression. He goes to the top of the building and he jumps off and he kills himself. So what am I saying? Money is not going to be your satisfaction. Tupac made a poem about a friend. Now, I want to read to you verse 24. Says, a man of too many friends. This is Proverbs 18:24. A man of too many friends comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's what I got out of Tupac's poem. That's what he was looking for. And in his own way, he was commending that friend for staying by his side, for believing in him. And you know what? We would think that as Christians, as believers, that we of all people would be those kinds of individuals that would have those kinds of friends. Yes, we would think that. But you know what? I'm going to tell you the truth. The reason that we don't is because even in religious institutions, I find more and more people do not trust other people, especially as friends. And I have to say this, I felt that over the years, I had a ton of friends that I would have around me. I tell you, man, I got goosebumps when I thought about being the pastor of a Christian church. I told my wife, I said, listen, I got to quit this city job because once I get in this position, I'm going to have friends for life, man, people that I could love for the rest of my life. I remember I became a young Sunday school teacher in the traditional Black Baptist church. And that was a place, as Joseph Washington Jr. writes in his treatise, he says that the Black church used to be a place for intellectual stability, guidance, advancement. I mean, people that were a part of the Black community used to go to church. And this is for real. Everybody went to church because, and if you didn't go to church back in the day, All right, here's one that Tupac wrote. And what I like about this book, if you pick up the book, you can see that it's his actual prose, handwritten, these handwritten prose, and then they have it typed right on the next page, right next to it. I got to share this with you. And what about Tupac? Maybe you don't know this. This is on the back cover of the book, and I just thought I'd share it. Because, see, my heart is going towards that generation and that population that never went to church, that didn't know God. I like what a pastor told me recently. He says, when somebody comes to me that goes to church and they want a little quibble about theology, my pastor friend said, I don't tell them that anymore. I tell them to research that themselves. If you're that serious about your faith, research it yourself. What you coming to me asking me that for? And then the pastor said, I'm looking at people that truly want to know about God, not somebody that just wants to get an easy answer instead of doing the research themselves. I'm telling you, I was in a Bible study last night, and I had a visitor visit the Bible study, and she really tried to tell me what the Bible meant, and I had to with very harsh words, well, a couple of nights ago, with very harsh words, put her down. And I said, I have to tell you, Bible students, this. I said, I'm not concerned about how you feel. I'm going to give you what God says, and it's going to be right in your face, and you're going to get mad at me. But whereas, in essence, you really ticked off at God, I don't care. I said, when you come to my Bible study forum, I'm going to tell you God's truth. And I told him, I don't believe in this other Jesus. And the lady asked me, what did you mean by another Jesus? I said, if you word faith, charismatic, crazy, that's not the Jesus of the Bible that I'm talking about. And that's when she tried to question me about something in the Bible. And I told the lady, I said, ma'am, you don't know what you're talking about. And I said, it's obvious by your question. The other students just looked at her like, under their breath, they were saying, please shut your mouth. Please shut up, because this man is going to tear into you in a minute. See, when I give a Bible study, we don't come in here fishing for God's truth. It's right there on the PowerPoint screen. It's right in your lap, in your hands. That's where I like it. I like it to be that way. Anyhow, I set her right with the Bible. And because the issue was, could Jesus have sinned? I said, I don't believe in the Christ that had to die and go to hell and suffer the pains of hell to buy my salvation. And so she said, well, because she's out of that word faith background. Then I went to the Hebrew text and read it to her, you know, where it says who Jesus was. And he said, and in him there was no sin at all. I said, so if there was no sin in him ever, then I had to explain seminal representation to her, okay? And I had to explain the incarnation, the virgin birth, and all of that, trying to help this woman. And that's why I was trying to tell her, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know anything. And if you don't know anything about the Bible, and she was kind of bragging, talking about she taught Bible. You can't teach a Bible if you don't know the rudimentary principles. You can't do that. So, let me give you a little bit of background. Tupac Shakur recorded 12 landmark albums, 9 of which went either platinum or gold. Now, you may be saying, but that's worldly. Yes, so is everything you're doing. See what I'm talking about? Give the boy props where props is due. That's his greatest work that he's done. You may not like it for humanity, but there's one number that he recorded. I really like it. It's a fancy number that was a compilation from some other things. That he was a consummate actor. He was also appeared on 6 major motion pictures, including Poetic Justice, Juice, Gridlock, Gang Related. He was murdered at the age of 25. See, they said it right. He was murdered. And it's interesting because in the note of the cover here, it says he understood the power of words, whether through rap genre that made him a musical icon or the poetry that he wrote in his private moments. And that's the book that I'm reading from. Now bringing together generations and cultures, the rose that grew from the concrete, volume 1, demonstrates the power of his words and inspires to inspire poets, music artists, and actors. And you know, that's nice. I like that. I like that. And I'm glad that I could share it on this webcast. There's one thing that I do like about the young generation, and it's their smiles. Tupac has one here, and this was for Renee. It's called The Power of a Smile. He says, the power of a gun can kill. The power of fire can burn. The power of wind can chill. The power of the mind can learn. The power of anger can rage inside until it tears you apart. But the power of a smile, especially yours, can heal a frozen heart. Now, you tell me that's not powerful. I love the fact that God can put words like this inside of some folk in my community that I can appreciate. See, I appreciate the culture. And I'm saying this because I think that the time has come and gone for us as a black folk that love God, that love Jesus. The time has come and gone for us to stop hating our own brothers because they don't follow or walk closely to God as we do. You know, oh, well, you know, they unsaved, they fornicate, they do this. What do you do? What do you do? I don't do nothing. I'm ever before the Lord. I'm always quoting Bible verses and everything. Hey, man, I've been reading the Bible since I was 23 years young. And I can quote them. I remember the Bible verses, remember when I learned the exegesis and discovered what it meant and all of that. But yet and still, at the same time, I am to put forth a very conscious effort to understand exactly what I'm looking at and why I am looking at it. Now listen, the power of a smile. And first verse that Tupac starts off with, the power of a gun can kill. That's right. That's why irresponsible people ain't got no business having a gun in their hands. Everybody's not irresponsible, but I don't want to get into the gun argument. Oh, man. Now, I got one here for you guys out there because, you know, we're always meeting in these little circle discussions. And Tupac wrote this one and he said, why must you be unfaithful? And this is men. He starts off men. Excuse me. And in his handwritten, I want you to go out and get the book because I think you need to. It'd be a great book to. Uh-oh, here it comes. It'd be a great book for you to purchase for your children. There's no vulgarity in this book. Ain't nobody cussing and swearing and talking nasty and dirty. And no, none of that is in this book. These are his musings. You see, the rap culture is driven by a satanic influence that people in the industry has put forth. They know that. I know that. You know that. One day, had his friends over here, and they were listening to some music, and I didn't holler and do it. I just walked and turned it off and says, I personally cannot have that music come into my brain, into my ears, because it does something to me personally. So as long as I'm in this house, I will not listen to that. I said, you can put that in your ears and pump it all through your system all you want to, but it is a form of hypnosis. It's a hypnotic trance that it puts the person in. And if you keep listening to it after a while, just as you would listen to anything, you would find yourself seduced by the culture of a rhyme. It was interesting. I was looking at a basketball game or something, and they had a young basketball player on one of the sports networks, and they asked him what his favorite record was, and he said, Man's Will Make Her Dance. And they all got a laugh out of it, but I said, this boy just said over live television that he goes to strip clubs and throws his money at the foot of a whore. Now, they laughed about it, and the sportscasters laughed about it, but you know who's not laughing? That girl's parents, if they love that girl, got her dancing a pole for this heathen. Bands Will Make Her Dance. Now, I know that that's wicked and evil, but that's one of the most popular records out on the market today. I didn't know what he was saying. I told you this before. I thought he was talking about, a band playing music, and she would hear the music, and she would want to get up and dance because the music would make her dance. Bands would make her dance. No, they said, no, you don't understand. The band that holds packs of money. See, these people have taken this thing to another level. But let's listen to what Tupac says, and this one is for women. He says, men, you shouldn't listen to your selfish heart. It doesn't really have a brain. Besides keeping you alive, its existence is in vain. How could I be so mean and say your heart has no place? Because a mortal man fall in love again as fast as they can change their face. I may be cruel, but think a while about the heart that you have broken. Match that with the empty vows, and broken promises you've spoken. Am I not saying females? I'm not saying the females aren't perfect, because men, we know it's not true. But why must you be unfaithful if her heart is true to you? Tupac Shakur. Now, some of you may be saying, well, how come I didn't hear that on the record album? Because maybe he didn't run into a person like me that could have loved him for who he is. I mean, when he said something and you know, he was a young man trying to wrestle through all of the inhumane things that he saw. He loved his family. He loved them. He loved like every young man loves. But when you're running with street thugs, that it's not the proper kind of role models, you end up in that lifestyle where your life could be smashed in jeopardy if something like that happens. I just think it interesting. Very, very interesting indeed. And, you know, we see all those tats on Pac and everything like that. He wrote a poem. This one is called Sometimes I Cry. Sometimes when I'm alone, I cry because I'm on my own. The tears I cry are bitter and warm. They flow with life to take no form. I cry because my heart is torn and I find it difficult to carry on. If I had an ear to confide in, I would cry amongst my treasured friends. But who do you know that stops that long to help another carry on? The world moves fast, and it would rather pass you by than to stop and see what makes you cry. It's painful and sad, and sometimes I cry, and no one cares about why. Sometimes, and then he has a picture of an eyeball with the tear coming out of it, cry. This is artful prose. The young man was brilliant. And there are so many young, brilliant people in this generation before us. Here's one called Hours Pass By. I know, no, just turn the webcast off if you don't want to listen to it. Because I know that some of you are so heavenly minded that on earth you aren't good for anything. You got a whole generation out there that listens to this young man. To this deceased man that is gone. Just 25 years, that is no time. I remember when I was 25. That was, I think, 25, 26 was when my first child was born. When Delia was born. When I was 25. And so I know what it feels like to be 25. Tupac never had the opportunity to go through that. To watch children grow up. To see that happen. To be with a woman 34 years. To grow old, to have his hair turn white. That's why I like looking at this picture on the cover of him. All of his hair is black. And he's just, it's a wonderful picture. It shows the man. It's wonderful. Listen to this. I think of you in my arms and what it would be like to make love. I think of you raising my seed and what they be made of. I think of how alone I was before you came to be. I think of the joy I felt when you said you thought of me. I'm proud to be the heart you chose to make a friend's. Hours pass by and Cupid cries until we meet again. I think Tupac could love too. I don't know about the women in his life. They probably have all these stories going around. And, you know, that may be true. And there's this great picture of him taken in, my goodness, it was 1999 from the Urban Warrior Films. And there's a picture of Tupac in this tuxedo with this little black bow tie with a styrofoam cup in his hand with a very expensive watch and looks like a diamond ring on his finger. And he was standing at a mic, and he so reminds me of Terrence. He so reminds me of Terrence, I'm telling you. Just a breath of freedom. This was written, well, no, I don't want to read that one. I want you to get the book. I think I've done it enough. What is the whole point of this? There is an awful lot of talent out there in that young community that God has gifted me to be a part of. And, here's one dedicated to Huey Newton, because you know that his father and mother were of the Black Panther Party. And if you know anything about that group, it was a group that for years I like this one. Here's one. It's untitled. It says, strength is overcome by weaknesses. Joy is overcome by pain. The night is overcome by brightness. And love, it remains the same. Yeah. So, he has on the back cover of the book, in the event of my demise, and this is something that he wrote, and this is what he says, in the event of my demise, when my heart can beat no more, I hope I die for a principle or a belief that I had lived for. I will die before my time because I feel the shadow's depth so much that I wanted to accomplish before I reach my death. I have come to grips with the possibility and wiped the last year from my eyes. I loved all who were positive in the event of my demise. You come to it. You come to it. There is a God. I'm not going to say if there is a God. There is God. There is God. God knew that this young man was alive. God's word, his standard, everything about him has been there, set, solidified, in motion. Most of us know what God would say to us. But when we look at this generation, we have a tendency to think at times that God is saying nothing to any of them. That is so untrue. He speaks, and he speaks to us. I hope that I was able to speak something for you today. And remember that Proverbs verse, there's a friend like one that sticketh closer than a brother. I just wish that I knew this young man before he met his demise, that I could have said, consider God a little bit more richer and lay off of all this other stuff. It's the way it is. Well, I have to get ready to do something now because I have a lot of engagements. I want to thank you for coming to my website. Thank you for listening to Pastor John as he muses about certain things that are confronting us in our society today. Thank you for allowing me to read just a few writings from Tupac. You know, I got my son's book, Mario Canto's book of poems, and I want to read something to you. Maybe tomorrow I'll get into Mario and just share a little bit of this artistic pro. Hey, now, what's good about this? Okay, because a pastor can read other literature. I have a lot of books in Black history about the I was thinking about doing, because a lot of our young people have no idea. Well, let me do that right now, and then I'll give you a sneak preview of what I'll be doing. All right, let me go get the tech. All right, I think you like this part of my webcast, and I'm going to start doing it because I want to, you know, I'm a teacher, and if I teach philosophy about European philosophy and all this other stuff, well, I want to teach some philosophy from the African-American historical point of view. I'm reading from a book called, this is from the special Proteus Home Library Edition. It's called Chronology of African-American History, the updated second edition from 1492 to the present. It's edited by Alton Horsby Jr., and I'd like to read the edition for January the 19th, and we're going to jump into the year 1970, since we're almost to January the 19th. They don't have every day here, but I think that you'll appreciate this. January 19th, 1970, there were pleas for desegregation, and the delays were denied. Florida Governor Claude Kirk Jr. personally told the U.S. Supreme Court that his state was, and here's the quote, financially and physically unable to meet the court's January 14, 1970 order for immediate school desegregation. Kirk announced that he had instructed his school districts to change their school calendars during the midterm. The governor asked the court for a rehearing and requested a delay in the February 1st school disintegration deadline. Kirk said that Florida was ready to comply with the orders, but was unable to do so under the time constraint. Attorneys for two Louisiana school districts also appeared before the court with similar pleas. The Supreme Court listened to the arguments, then ordered the desegregation to proceed as scheduled. See, now that would be a landmark victory. Yes. And here I'm, man, a great picture in this text of Brigadier General Frederick Davison and Captain Murray consult in a Vietnamese jungle. Oh my goodness, yes. I'd love to read about African-American history. It's wonderful to read about that. And I'll be bringing you other little tidbits since we've passed a lot of things. Oh, man, I'd love to look at my year. You know, what happened in 1944 on my birthday? Just a great little book. See if they got anything about February. Nah. Well, anyhow, God bless you for coming to my site. Glad that you can listen to me as I quote some things from some of the text. And we'll meet again and do this at another time. Give it some thought. Don't cast everybody out as nothing. We have a great, tremendously great history about us as a people. Awful lot to be proud of. I am. Well, God bless. You know the drill. Stay into the word. Speak to you soon.